Welcome, everyone, to THP Radio. I'm your host, JB, and we have a new episode of The Dean Has Spoken. This show is co-hosted by one of the brilliant minds at THP, an equipment staff writer, Dean, and he can be found on the THP forum as well as on Twitter at Dean of THP. Are you ready for another fast-paced, action-packed, opinionated THP Radio show, Dean?
I'm ready for this, Josh. You know, returning from the PGA show just a little over a week ago, it's kind of like the spring training and baseball season. All these companies are excited about their products, and it really pumps some life into me, so let's get this show going.
The Dean Has Spoken is your new twist on on-demand audio in the world of golf. We'll be discussing controversial topics that hit the tour, hot topics in the golf equipment game, and the industry happenings that nobody else wants to tackle, with the key here being that the Dean of THP will always have the final word. The way the show works is easy. We have five topics, 10 arguments, but only one right answer for each, and being that he is the Dean, he's going to let you know exactly what that is. You want to hear what's on the show for today?
I'm ready for it. Let me hear what I'm going to be judging.
We're talking low spin drivers, Golf Digest Hot List, matte versus glossy, graphite versus steel, the fifth major, and I'm going to throw a curveball at you, and we have a bonus topic that's going to really put you in the hot seat.
God, I was awful at hitting curveballs, so I'm a little worried about that.
Two baseball takes in the first 3 minutes. That's news.
Football season just ended. Major League Baseball is the next sport to get started.
Or we could say golf, but that's neither here nor there.
Golf has already started, Josh. Dean has spoken. Next topic.
So, Dean, are you ready? You ready to get this party started?
Let's do it.
First topic, a wise one. We're talking low spin drivers and whether or not it's now just a buzzword or are we really talking about technology. The argument for is that there's still a myriad of different driver options out there, with each one having different characteristics of spin, launch, and certainly the subjective side of things when, you know, when you're talking sound, feel, look, things like that. The argument against it is pretty simple. Name a single driver on the market that's not low spin or marketed as low spin. So what say you?
It's definitely become the buzzword. I just got done reviewing a driver from Mizuno, and on their page, the JPX EZ, it talks about how it's a low spin driver. During the testing that I had with my swing and some other swings, it proved to not be low spin compared to the other lower spin options out on the market. I think the problem with low spin now becoming the buzzword is the spin is definitely lower than it was, you know, 5-10 years ago compared to those heads. But now you're becoming, you know, this one's low spin. This one's low spin with forgiveness. This one's ultra low spin. People are trying to get that high launch and low spin combination as, you know, the holy grail. And so every company seems to be pushing low spin when really the low spin isn't out there to benefit every single golfer.
You know, it's a really interesting take, and I tend to agree with you. And while my say doesn't matter, when I was putting this question together, I did really struggle to come up with a single driver that was not marketed as low spin. So good take. Second topic. We don't often talk about other media outlets, and there are thoughts on equipment, you know, here and there. But Golf Digest has put out their annual hot list, and we want to know, is the hot list still relevant? The argument for it is, I still believe it's the number one selling issue for Golf Digest. Tons of great equipment is featured in it. And while it has its issues, it's subjective and brings conversation. The argument against it is that it's flat out awful. There is literally zero reason for it, other than selling magazine copies. And since basically every major company gets a gold, their only objective values have no consistency whatsoever. So when you're looking at the hot list, at least for the argument against, one company gets this, one company gets that, they're releasing similar things, why aren't they the same? It's doing golfers and companies a disservice. So, Dean, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's still, in my mind, a very important issue in the golf magazine or periodical business. It's one that people still flock to. You get to see all the equipment next to each other, at least pictures and images. And when you go into a golf store, yeah, they might sway you as to which one you want to hit. The problem I really have with it is some of the you know, medals and categories they give out. It seems like everybody now gets gold or silver. That doesn't mean much. You know, the buzz category, these guys are testing the equipment you know, in early fall. So it's hard to project what's going to be buzzworthy and what's not. So I don't like that category at all. But as far as for Golf Digest and, you know, their readership, it's their number one selling copy. I'd rather read the hot list than the fitness issue with, you know, the likes of Paulina Gretzky on the cover. So I'm going to say the hot list is still relevant, but for the really serious golf nerds out there, you know, we really dictate it and slice it up a little bit more than it actually is.
There you have it, folks. The hot list is still relevant. I want to mention quickly, you can catch up with this show here on the THP forum and share your thoughts on each argument being made, as well as argue with the Dean of THP directly about his opinions that he's sharing here. So people can find you, take you to task, just like you saw at the PGA show, and share their thoughts on all the subjects we're talking about.
Have at it. I love debate. I actually really enjoy when I pick up my phone or I'm at my computer and I get a tweet, somebody arguing or saying that they listen to the show and they have a different take. That's what this is for. So that's good to see.
Do you also explain that you are the dean and their take doesn't matter like you do to mine?
Well, I really need to come up with a hashtag that says your take doesn't matter. Maybe that's what I'll do. Or I'm the dean, leave me alone. We'll figure out something. But yeah, if you're listening to the show and you have a different take than me, feel free to tweet at me, at Dean of THP, and we could have a conversation about it.
Third topic. Dean, new drivers are coming out each and every year, and finding the look that each golfer likes is paramount. The flip side of that is a company has to determine what the look the golfers are going to like and embrace it, which is a tough task. So we are looking at a broad range here with matte versus glossy. The argument for a matte head is quite easy. Golf is played in the sunlight, or some lighter shades of gray if you're in Ohio, and the matte finish is going to eliminate the glare, making it easier to concentrate without having to look away because you're seeing stars, you know, when you look down and all of a sudden you can't see anything at all. However, the argument for the glossy is also rather easy. It looks better, and when playing in wet conditions, the glossy head does not turn a different color when some of the moisture or the dew from the grass gets on it. So, Dean, give us your take.
Are we talking strictly drivers here, Josh?
I think you have to go metal woods as a whole.
Because I kind of differ on it. I like the matte on a fairway wood head. It's a little smaller. When you get into those big 460cc size heads, I would prefer the glossy finish. You know, you look at a driver like the Zexio 9, the crown just pops in the sunlight. It sparkles. The paint on it kind of changes colors from a blue to a light purple. I like that look a lot better than the matte finishes that are out there. There are companies that give you options that you can choose a matte finish or a glossy finish. And then there's some companies out there that only offer a matte finish, which is fine. That's their prerogative. I prefer glossy versus matte, even though matte seems to be, you know, the new big thing in driver paint.
Once again, I'll offer my take here because I tend to agree with you, although I don't like matte throughout the whole thing, but I play it, which is ironic. I thought one of the best looking heads was last year's Callaway Big Bertha Alpha 815, where it was glossy black, which had some blue sparkles in it. But that's neither here nor there, because once again, you are the dean and you have spoken.
Well, that's a good looking head, and we've seen some of the Callaway Great Big Bertha U design heads, and they come with a glossy finish. And holding that side by side to another, the matte finish or the stock version of the Great Big Bertha, I just like the glossy better. To me, it suits my eye more. To others, they might prefer the matte, but I'm the dean and I say glossy rules.
So, fourth topic. One of the questions that comes up a lot from our readers when they write into the show saying, hey, I want you to talk about this. This is one of the big ones. Graphite versus steel for iron shafts. The argument for graphite is very strong right now. You can change the weight without manipulating the flex, and you can't really do that with steel, and that's kind of a big deal. The argument for steel is basically quite easy. Steel costs less, and the argument is always graphite is for old people. So, Dean, what's your take?
This one's interesting for me because I currently play graphite. I play Aerotech steel fiber shafts. They look like they're steel shafts, but they are graphite. The weight is 95 grams, and I could flight them just like I could any other steel shaft out there. It feels good to me. However, the steel shafts that are out there, you know, I usually played KBS Tour, but I have played the Dynamic Gold and the Project X, which is my least favorite feeling shaft out there. I think steel, with the price that it is, it's still king. It's definitely still king. For graphite to get to that point, the cost needs to come down, and there needs to be more tour acceptance. Yes, we have seen more wins with players with graphite shafts in their irons in the last few years. In fact, we saw one just a couple of tournaments ago with Brant Snedeker. But steel is still there. It's the cheaper option. I don't necessarily think it's better, but I have to go with steel because it's the way to go. It's more budget friendly, and you know, it's what's out there on tour. It's what people want. It doesn't have the misnomer to it, so I say steel.
There you have it. We are on to the final fifth topic, and this is a fun one. Dean, each year during the PGA Tour season, as the Players' Championship rolls around, the talk always comes to, quote-unquote, it's the fifth major. It's time to end this debate once and for all. The argument for it is that the field is incredibly deep, and it's about time we add a fifth major. The argument against it is, fifth major waters down the record books. Might actually make Tiger Woods be able to have a chance at catching Jack. And with the WGC being the top players in the world, and these tournaments and that tournament being the top players in the world, why is it the players and not something else? There's just no reason for a fifth major. So, Dean, which way does it go?
There's no need for a fifth major. It would water down the record books. They just did that to the LPGA. You know, they added the fifth major for them. The PGA Tour doesn't need a fifth major, and I'm not sure I would say the Players is going to be that fifth major. Josh, what's the biggest purse out there if you count the bonus for a tournament of the year? It's the Tour Championship, is it not?
Absolutely. Smaller field, though.
It's a smaller field, but you know what? You're earning your way there. You have to go through the full season. You have to go through the FedEx Cup playoffs, whether you agree with how that, you know, the calculations to get there are worth it or not. It's 30 man, but it's the top 30 golfers on the tour. And the winner of that, if you're in the top five in standings, can walk away with over $10 million. I think that's got to be considered my fifth major, although I'm not going to give it fifth major status because the majors need to stay at four.
I actually, again, my take doesn't matter, but I agree with you, and I think the FedEx Cup should have some more weight to it, and I hope they fix the small tweaks they have to get it there. So before we go on, let's recap. I'm going to list the topic. You give us a quick 10-second clip on your take, just in case anybody has missed it.
Okay.
Low spin drivers.
We determined that low spin has become the buzzword because driver heads are still low spin, but not all of them are lower spin. They've kind of made the totem pole smaller, if that makes sense.
The hot list, still relevant?
The hot list is still relevant to the average golfer. To the golf nerds like us, we dissect it a lot more.
Glossy versus matte.
I'm a fan of glossy.
Graphite versus steel.
Steel is still king, though graphite is charging hard.
And should we have a fifth major?
We should not have a fifth major, and if we do, I say it's the Tour Championship.
As always, you can catch up with the show and talk to both Dean and I on the THP forum and share your thoughts on each argument being made, as well as argue with the Dean of THP directly about his opinions. But, Dean, I said at the beginning, I'm going to put you on the hot seat. It's bonus topic time.
I'm a little nervous about this.
I would be if I were you, too. Oh, wise one, this is a doozy.
Uh-oh.
Social media has taken over the world, and it's no different in the golf industry. Some companies do it well, and for the sake of this argument, we'll keep this to the clubhead manufacturers that dominate the conversation. It'd be impossible to argue who is the king in this arena, which is Callaway Golf. They are creating their own content, have their own live show, and have completely changed the foundation of their message by being able to connect and deliver rather than deliver then connect. But I digress, because that is not really the question. The question would be, taking a look at the total landscape of golf club companies, how does each one respectively handle their media and social media presence? This is rather a different topic, so rather than me give you a for versus against argument, this is our bonus topic. I'm going to name 10 companies, and the Dean is going to give you his take on each one of them. Are you ready?
Can I say no?
No, you cannot.
Well, if you're twisting my arm, I guess we'll do it.
We're going to start out with the one already mentioned, which is Callaway Golf.
Callaway, you kind of said it. You know, they're the king of it right now. They really grabbed the whole social media aspect and ran with it, and they've just kept their foot on the gas and running with it. And I think you're seeing some of the releases that they're having this year. We talked about it before with the black PM grind. They're listening to feedback. It's a good conversation. It's a two-way street with them. And they're taking some feedback from consumers, and you're seeing the output into products.
Next up, Cobra Golf.
Cobra.
By the way, folks, for those listening, Dean has no idea the company I'm going to ask. I'm sure he has some guesses. And he had no idea this question was coming before we started the show.
No, this was supposed to be something different. Cobra does all right. You know, I would say they're probably upper tier. They're not in a Callaway level yet. I don't know if they have the personalities constantly on Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram to get to that level yet. Callaway seems to have a much bigger crew than them. But they do all right. Their products really stand out, so it's not hard for them to put out a picture and people can gravitate towards it. You know, Ricky with the high tops, I imagine you're going to see a lot of things with that. So Cobra does pretty well with social media. Not great, but pretty well.
TaylorMade Golf.
TaylorMade, let's see. Their social media seems to go up and down. You know, they're kind of like on a roller coaster. They really pump out a lot of stuff. More photo content than video content. Video content around releases, and then it drops off. And then you don't really hear much about them for a while. But then they come back strong. They're like a roller coaster, you know? They have their highs, their lows. They're hot, and then they're not. Hopefully they stay hot. They've got a good release on them right now with the M2. There was a lot of buzz, and hopefully that propels them to be a little more active social media-wise.
I'm just really glad you're the one making these claims and not me.
Yeah, this is fantastic. I love this.
Bridgestone Golf.
Bridgestone Golf, they are really transforming.
Are you going to say they're A+?
No, I'm not, but they are changing.
I would actually say that for the biggest 180, that's them. They've been fantastic.
It's definitely
recently.
Them. You know, they got everybody on Twitter. They went through and made all these declarations of, look at me, here's Corey Conswerga, here's Josh Kinson. And you get to meet them, and that helps. They're working their way up to the top of the list when it comes to being active on social media, and it's great to see.
Yeah, I would actually – you could argue that they're the second most prominent golf equipment brand out there right now.
I could agree with that.
Nike Golf.
Nike. They're kind of absent in my mind. I don't see a lot from them. You see something on Instagram, and then I don't see anything for another, you know, couple weeks. They're clearly not as active, at least in my mind, and I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, let me know.
You're not wrong.
But I don't see them being as active, and it's too bad because I think the products that they have, kind of like Cobra, you know, they stand out. If you put a picture up of their new driver, it's blue, it's got some Volt in it, it stands out. The problem is they just don't do it enough. I will say this, though. I'm going to add one more thing. What they did with their new golf ball, the images, you know, from the outside in, I thought looked really cool.
Cleveland Golf.
Cleveland Golf.
And you know, you could use Cleveland Strixon together.
Cleveland Strixon, okay. Yeah, they're climbing. I'd say, you know, middle of the pack. You see some things on Twitter, you know, they really go out and congratulate their players rather quickly after a win, which is nice. You know, they pump the Cleveland wedges a lot. And I see more Strixon, I think, than I do Cleveland nowadays.
Mizuno.
Oh, man, Mizuno. Yeah.
Honest question. When's the last time you saw any social media content?
I was trying to put it as a nice way. They're kind of vacant to me. They're similar to Nike in my mind. They're down there on the list.
Titleist.
Titleist, really good with the golf ball. Clubs, not so much. Really good with the golf ball, which they should be. That's their bread and butter. That's their number one product. People hear Titleist, that's what you think of as the golf ball.
Ping.
Ping around equipment release time, I think, is really good, and then they fade away. Kind of like what I said with TaylorMade. You know, these companies don't just seem not to, like, keep up. I mean, Callaway really harps on things. Maybe harp is a bad word. It hit on topics repeatedly over day in, day out for months at a time. And we're seeing that with Bridgestone now, too. But some of these companies, like Ping and like TaylorMade and like Nike, you know, you hear from them and see from them around release time, and then they kind of fade into the sunset quickly after.
And finally, Wilson Golf.
Wilson Golf has done a really good job. I think they did a lot of stuff with the D200. They're doing a lot of social media with the C200. They're really trying to make an impression. The problem is with Wilson Golf is they just don't carry the clout and namesake that some of these other companies do. So they might not get noticed as much, which is a shame because their products are, you know, really top of the line. We've seen that with the C200s, you know, with our forum readers, people who have been hitting them. They loved them. The videos that we've done from the PGA show, people enjoy listening from Michael Verska and Duffy. So they're there. It's just if people pay attention.
And you know what? You're right, because they do put out good content, and it's hard when it's the majority of time a one-way street.
Right.
You know, when you're one of the bigger companies, you have constant conversation, and the engagement is so large. When you're one of the smaller companies, and I don't want to say smaller is a detrimental term, but, you know, we'll call it a growing company, the engagement is by the same couple of people each time, and eventually it comes off as, well, come on, guys, let's have a conversation. They're trying to engage. So I look at that one as a very good attempt, and I like the fact that they have multiple people on there talking, and Michael Verska himself makes himself available. He can actually be found at VGolfman. And a quick kind of plug, the first episode of Uncut, or another THP radio show, will be done with Michael Verska later this week.
Oh, that's fantastic. I can't wait to listen to that one. I can listen to Michael Verska talk about, you know, golf technology and pretty much everything else for hours. In fact, we did that recently.
We did. Well, there you have it, gang. You can join us on the THP forum to discuss and debate everything we talked about here. And of course, follow along on Twitter at THP Golf and at Dean of THP. So for myself and the Dean of THP, we hope you enjoyed another episode of The Dean Has Spoken. Bye, everybody.
Bye.